Our gospel today is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62, found in your pew Bible on page 66 and page 85 in the large print. Hear the word of God for us. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we live. Thanks be to God. Powerful readings today that lead us to ponder our priorities. We are invited to consider ourselves as mystical, spiritual beings and to build lives that are bigger than our own instant gratification. Jesus calls and challenges new disciples with an uncharacteristic urgency, questioning commitment in the face of other priorities. The question becomes, is it really one last thing we intend to do, or hesitation and doubt that turns into an ambiguous someday that pushes our commitment to God down on our list of things to do? Before Elisha the younger felt close enough to acclaim Elijah as a father, there was one more thing he had to do. Earlier in their story, Elisha was at the plow, and he begged the elders' permission to say goodbye to his father and mother. But after he said his farewells, he slaughtered two of the oxen and distributed the meat. Even though he turned back, he declared his discipleship by giving away his share of the family estate. He left himself nothing but a way forward. So even with the hesitation, Elisha the younger turned into one of God's great prophets. He followed in the footsteps of Moses and Elijah with access to God, with the burden of the prophetic call and the power to part waters and cross on dry land. So sometimes turning back is not the end of our mission with God. There is an urgency to the gospel that we are unaccustomed to hearing from Jesus. But our story also tells us why. The days are drawing near for Christ to be taken up. The Son of God has set his face for Jerusalem. This is not the time to hesitate. This is not the time to falter. This is the time to make a choice and to stick with it. The coming week is going to be a test of the faith and the grit of the disciples. We talk in our modern lives about making landmark decisions. Some of them include moving, starting a new job, purchasing a home or buying a car, getting married. As if in conjunction with how significant these choices are, they can also be some of the most stressful choices that we make. We don't want to make these decisions lightly because we don't want to be stuck with something we regret, and because most of these choices can't be undone. Decisions about our faith operate on this same kind of deep level. What do we believe? If we know that Christ is our Redeemer, if we know that God is our Creator, and the Holy Spirit is our Sustainer, then why would we hesitate to follow? There should be no denying that God is the first priority in our lives. It should be evident in our everyday activities that the love of God first, that love that God first gave us, undergirds the love and compassion that we give to others and determines the self-care that we give to ourselves. There is nothing between us and God, no glancing back over our shoulder to make sure that the row we have plowed is straight, because surely the row we are on will then surely veer off. There is not room for regrets or second guessing. God comes first. So in case you are beginning to beat yourself up for the times God hasn't come first, or in case you are considering giving up because you feel like you have already failed, remember, God gives us the graces of mercy and forgiveness when we do wander off, so that we may face forward without hesitation. Let that sink in for a minute. God gives us the grace of mercy and forgiveness when we do wander off, so that we may face forward without hesitation. When I began to feel the push of the Holy Spirit way before seminary, I tried to tell God that she must be mistaken, that I was not the one she was looking for, that I had made mistakes, that I had taken missteps in my life that would surely make me a second-class leader at best. I heard the very real question from others in my life and in my own head, aren't there men who can do that for you? And I wondered if my doubts and others' prejudices were right. In a way, I did not trust myself to follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. But God pursues us relentlessly. As Paul writes to the Galatians, Christ has set us free. For love, we are freed. And Paul implores the early followers of the way to choose freedom in the Spirit. This is not an invitation to let desire run amok, but to let the guilt that comes with failing to keep the law fall away in favor of dedicating ourselves fully, even slavishly, to neighborly love. Familiar, wise, uncompromising, challenging, brushing off the dirt when I stumble and persistently and lovingly moving me forward. That is the call of God. So we get stuck sometimes when God calls. We get stuck in our hesitations and our own fleshly limits. We get stuck on details when a much bigger picture is the goal. It takes trust in God to forgive ourselves and to step onto the path where there may not be the comfort of our familiar foxholes. It is only our lack of courage, if we remain in the yoke of the comfortable and the familiar. We have been set free, free to love, free to create lives that are born of love and spirit. We are free. To the Lord our God, Alpha and Omega, be all glory and honor forever. Amen.